G'day, Navicastrians. Welcome to your Jetstream podcast. We're doing a combined one this week. Obviously, with the short turnaround, we've had Christmas and Boxing Day, and I wasn't really planning on roping people in during the celebrations and stuff that were going on. And I think I got a combined total of about 5 hours sleep over the 2 days, so I was in no condition to do any recording anyway. So welcome to the podcast. I'm Ferns, and I'm joined by two of my fellow Jet supporters. It's first, g'day to Dr. Emma.
Hoi hoi.
How you going?
Fabulous.
Fresh back from Japan. How was the trip?
It was delightful, and I was over there during their cup final as well, so that was also a little bit exciting. Didn't get to go to any games live, but got to be part of the atmosphere, which is always nice.
Yeah, they're pretty mental over there, the Japanese support, aren't they?
Well, the Japanese are pretty mental about everything, like, you know, turning Japanese is saying for a reason, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah, very, very into it. Lots of supporters travelling all over the country for their finals. So, yeah, very, very much a spectacle.
Cool. All right. And g'day to Matt. How you going, mate?
Hello, Ferns. Hello, Emma. Thanks for having me on again.
No worries at all. So, yeah, after the whole Christmas and Boxing Day stuff has been done and dusted, I thought, well, we'll do an opening question with along those lines. Em, have you had any Christmas Day disasters?
Oh, I hated this question because I'm like, which one do I choose? So, yeah, my life's a little bit dramatic. I'm going to go with the time at my mum's. It was probably about 6 years ago, and this really big storm came through on Christmas Day, like literally blew family Christmas, blew over our shed, blew over mum's shed. It was like a little mini tornado type thing, swept through Singo.
Yep.
Mum's garden shed, and in the aftermath, everyone went outside to, see what had happened and, you know, see what was left of the shed and the yard and everything. And my twin sister slipped in the mud and stabbed it and broke her arm. We all spent the rest of the day in the emergency room.
Oh, so that's, yeah. What's the Christmas banquet like at the emergency room at Singleton Hospital?
Not so epic.
No.
And she was really drunk, and everyone was really drunk, and mum was not very impressed at the amount of giggling that was going on over a broken arm.
And how long was the wait time? Because I've been in emergencies with kids before. They don't take, they're not quick.
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the good things about a smaller hospital, a little bit less hectic. So we did get to go in quite quickly, or relatively quickly. I would have expected to wait a lot longer if we'd been in the city. So,
yeah,
but so that because, you know, she's onco.
Well, you know, alcohol doesn't really help with the coordination skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, what about you?
Mate, no real Christmas disasters, like, per se. Maybe it's just that I set the bar for life pretty low, or maybe they're all as equally as bad as each other. But, no, look, there's nothing that really stands out. Like, I mean, we've had a couple of burnt porks and, like some trifle and whatnot that was a little bit runny, but nothing that I'd really class as a disaster.
Yeah, well, there's nothing worse than a runny Christmas trifle.
Oh, there are, but like, first world problems.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly. This question probably wouldn't have really been applicable until maybe last year. We were actually supposed to, we'd made the move up here to the Hunter Valley only recently, and we were between two houses. So we decided we'd go back and spend time with my wife's family, but, her sister decided to get sick on Christmas Day, and we were stuck in the Hunter Valley with absolutely nothing prepared, no sort of Christmas dinner or anything like that. So we just ended up going around to my mum and dad's place, who were supposed to go around to my sister's and have Christmas there, but they decided to forego that and spend it with us, which was quite sweet of them. It was usually when you've got tables full of food and you're there having, I think it was a couple of slices of what remained of the Christmas ham that they'd been steadily eating over the course of the previous fortnight, but didn't think to save it for Christmas Day because, hey, they had other plans already. And, all the usual trimmings and stuff, it was a fairly meagre Christmas, but, you can't really blame anyone for getting sick, but, it just sort of threw some plans into disarray. So it was a bit of a a Weight Watchers Christmas, shall we say? It wasn't really a great deal of overindulging in that thing. So yeah, if you got any of your own Christmas Day disasters, just pop them up on Twitter or Facebook underneath the podcast post when it comes up. But yeah, when if you've got anything interesting, let us know and we'll discuss it on the next show. All right, so we'll get in and talk about some awesome stuff that happened before Christmas, which was the round 9 F3 derby that took place on Sunday the 23rd of December, and we came away luckily with a 2-1 victory over the old enemy. We'll listen to the highlights now, thanks to Fox Sports.
F3 derby number 45 from resplendent Gosford, just 2 days before Christmas. And Central Coast Mariners take on Newcastle, both hoping that there will be 3 points waiting under the Christmas tree. Unfortunately for the Mariners, it's potentially the lump of coal that could be the worst ever A-League start through 9 games. Well, that banner paints a fairly ominous picture. February the 23rd, in fact, a 1-0 win against the Wellington Phoenix. It's the last time Central Coast Mariners tasted victory. It was right here. Just shifting the mood with a long ball that Petratos has done well to control and then firing over at close range. Did the hard work to set up the opportunity, but the finish wasn't quite there. Petratos' moment. And it's a good save from Pierce to deny him. Turning it out for a corner. Decent free kick. And you can see how much that's motivated Pierce keeping it out.
Certainly on target. Gentlemanly pace, I'd say, from Dimi Petratos, and Pierce covered well.
Good first touch and allows him to take off. Simon, the quick one too. Matt Miller, he's in behind. And the cutback is able to set up the opener. It is Matt Simon, Mr. F3 Derby. And the Central Coast Mariners have something to celebrate. Eventually able to steady. Vargas. Neat shimmy, loses his marker, and the header is over the bar. Jair arriving, and as he stooped to the ball, he sent it high.
From the Jets, good start to the half.
Topor Stanley's intention was to find a teammate. Payne has won the ball, and he snatched at the opportunity, had a couple more metres to go for it, and ultimately, a great chance goes begging for the Mariners. Jair on corner taking duty, and it's in! Jason Hoffman heads the Jets level, celebrating with Jair as parity is restored in the derby, and the visiting fans, loud and numerous, absolutely love it.
And the counter-attack there.
Shepherd, Vargas, it sits up and lashed in! Newcastle have turned it around, and inside the last 10 minutes, they lead.
Well punished. The Mariners and Mike Mulvey.
The ball is whipped away and met by the full-time whistle. A come-from-behind win in the F3 derby. Newcastle prevail and the misery continues for Central Coast.
Thanks very much to Fox Sports for the continued permission to use their audio. It was a well. First and foremost, I think the major thing that we have to say was that the crowds, the away crowds, certainly turned out in numbers. It was a massive show of support from the Newcastle faithful that travelled down to Gosford and really packed out. That they, I think, the crowd was 8-9, but there had to have been at least 3,500 Jet supporters there. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, I'd love to know the actual figure for the Jets supporters in the crowd, because it was a really good turnout. And maybe we can get that off the members' passes, swipes, who knows. But yeah, it was a really good turnout. It was really fun. It's really nice to be in that really big away bay atmosphere compared to the, you know, smaller crowds you get when you go further away. And it's always nice to take it to the coasties, because, you know, they don't have very many fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we do know what it's like to be in the doldrums down near the bottom of the ladder and not getting much support, but it's good that we've been able to turn that around and actually show that these regional teams can get a decent crowd behind them, FFA. So yeah, bring Canberra on as soon as possible. Thanks. Matt, what about you? Did you make the trip down, and how did you find it?
Yeah, mate. I went down. I wasn't actually sitting sort of in the away bay. The last few Mariners versus Newcastle games, I've sort of gone with one of the guys from work who is a Mariners supporter.
Boo.
So we were sitting up Yeah. Oh, look, I'm pretty sure that he's either going to convert or slit his wrist soon. So, we were sitting up behind the goals where no goals were scored, behind, what do they call themselves now? The Marinators or the Yellow Army or those six drunk guys in the megaphone?
I think that the Yellow Army, the Marinators, was the last group that died.
Look. It was great to see, and like 100% agree as far as, you know, like how good the travelling support went. I guess the only disappointment is why can't we do that week in, week out when we're actually at home?
Well, yeah, I suppose it just depends. I mean, yeah, it was probably a perfect storm of, you know, the weekend before Christmas. It didn't look like many people were going in for Monday work, so a lot of people just decided to make the trip. But again, one of the big drawbacks or criticisms, I would say, would be that the Melbourne derby that took place on the previous night was the one that received all the coverage, and they don't really tend to pump up the F3 derby. It's just a bugbear of ours that just continues to happen. And until Fox Sports get behind it and actually, I mean, there was no reason that derby couldn't have been played at 5 PM before the Melbourne derby and just have a derby evening and build up both of the games. So why wouldn't that have taken place?
Yeah, I think social media is starting to do a better job in terms of hyping our derby. I think I saw a lot more from the A-League account itself in the lead up to this derby, and I saw a lot more just from, you know, non-partisan punters, which is good. People starting to pay a bit of attention. But I guess, you know, we won and we enjoyed it, but it still wasn't necessarily a good enough game of football to entertain the masses. And I think we don't do ourselves any favours when that's what happens. So, yeah, it is great to start to see that kind of swing. And I think once the social media gets behind something, then you see the general media pick up on it a little bit after. But yeah, I think if you were a non-partisan supporter in watching that game, probably the biggest thing to comment on was the crowd numbers and the support that the Jets brought rather than the actual level of style of play.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, that's
are you trying, yeah. Emma, are you trying to say news.com gets most of their stories from Facebook?
Well, I'll tell
because
you what.
I'd agree. I'll
read it later, and then they can publish it, and then it'll be true.
Well, absolutely.
Me for one. Look, for one, I'm glad it wasn't on Saturday because if it was, I couldn't go.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that was so one extra person. Well, looking at the overall quality of the game.
I was consulted.
Looking at the overall quality of the game, Matt, it probably, Em's right, it wasn't really one of those matches for the ages. It was more of a, it seemed to be more the Jets weathering the storm. I don't think we played at all well in the first half. We'll talk about specifics in a minute, but I think I summed the first half up and the Jetstream Twitter account as both teams being equally shit. But the second half certainly got much better from our perspective, but overall I think the game wasn't really one to write home about, apart from the fact that we went a goal down and then came back and ended up winning the game, which is something that doesn't really happen a great deal.
Oh, not since last year anyway, since the first half a dozen games of last year. Yeah, it was pretty sloppy. We had a good maybe opening 15, 20 minutes. There was just maybe a little bit of lack in quality in that final ball, and I know you hear it a lot, but I think the guys were really trying to get Roy involved, and just not having him in the team for so long as, you know, it sort of showed. By halftime, the stats said that Central Coast had more of the ball and more territory, so it goes to show how bad we were playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Em, there was a couple of flashpoints. Obviously, you see those in a derby. Doesn't matter where it is. There was a few push and shove and matches and a few handbags at 10 paces. But that was sort of the main sort of indicator that there was some feeling in the derby. But yeah, the quality of the football on offer wasn't massively high. The Jets sitting just outside the six, the Mariners rooted to the bottom of the table with no wins, and we've come off a little bit of a difficult period, obviously, since the beginning of the season, waiting for Roy to come back. So both sort of teams, it's a lot of it seemed to cancel each other out for the most part until obviously the second half.
Yeah, the little bit of argy-bargy was probably the most exciting part about the match at one stage. So, you know, fortunately we did manage to finish on top. And I guess when it comes to the Mariners, I'll take that.
Mm.
If this was any other game, I would probably be a bit more critical of the way we played. But at the end of the day, when it's a derby, you go to win. And if you can get that win, then you're going to celebrate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, we'll talk about the starting 11. Obviously, the major change was Roy finally being available after his 10-game ban from the grand final. How do you think he played?
He tried hard, but like I said, you could just sort of see that some of the combinations weren't quite there. There's a few times where, you know, I think he was screaming out for a through ball and it either went to feet or went to the wrong side of him. A couple other times when he wanted it to feet and they played through. So, and that'll just come down to, like, if we look at it, Dimmy, Roy and Ronnie haven't really played many games together, so... Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and obviously Jair is also the other wild card in that as well. And it's a good point that obviously the combinations that worked so well last year, they spent the entire preseason working on all those. And obviously there's only so much you can do in the training paddock while he's sitting there waiting for his suspension to be finished. Ernie can't just sit there concentrating on how do we make Roy work. He's got to try and care about the other eight games first and try and work on those combinations. So you think it's going to be – we said it in the pre-match video, are we throwing too much expectation on Roy to come back and then, you know, score a hat-trick in his first game? I think a lot of us tipped that he'd either score a hat-trick or get sent off. Luckily – well, unfortunately and fortunately, neither of those happened. But it's just going to take some time for Roy to work out what the other guys around him can do and how he's going to slot into that front four.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right. I'm going to say he played like a man who'd sat out 10 matches. So, you know, like Matt said, he didn't really mesh with the rest of the team quite right yet. But you could also tell he really wanted it. Mm. And maybe, you know, that's where the wheels fall off a little bit when you've got that kind of, you know, let's get it to Roy. Roy needs it. Roy wants it. And you kind of forget about the rest of the team, because I think that's when the Jets play the best, when they play as a team rather than just a set of individual players. So it very well could have been a little bit too much pressure. And hopefully we see, you know, things kind of mesh a little bit better this coming week.
And the other thing that we saw, we'll stick with you, Em, was that your boy Hoff went back to his fullback role that he was playing last year. How did you think he performed there?
Yeah, actually, I think he did well. I'm glad to see that he has transitioned when he's gone back into the fullback role, because I was worried that, you know, after doing what the team needed him to do and moving forward when required, I was worried that then when he wasn't required forward, his space in the back would be lost. And it's nice to see that that hasn't happened. And, you know, I think kind of having that mixed exposure now, I actually tipped Hoffie to score off a set piece for this game. And I think his time in the front has probably helped kind of with that drive to score.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt, were you hoping for any more changes, or do you think that the only change that we really needed to make was Roy and then just keep the rest of it as is and go from there?
On the preview, I thought that the starting lineup would be as it was. That was probably just the bench that I was sort of hoping that would be a little bit different. To be honest, I thought that I'd rather see Cowburn over Redenton than Jackson over Vajica.
Yeah,
and I still don't know what's going on with Austin, if he's injured or if he just hasn't been selected.
Yeah, well, that's we don't really know what's happening in training, so you don't really know whether it's just not it's just not working, or whether he still needs more training to gel better with the team. But yeah, when we've seen him, he hasn't really been all that effective. So I would pretty much hazard a guess that's the main reason why we haven't seen him, apart from a couple of cameos, because when he's come on, he hasn't really set the world. I mean, he basically just runs. We haven't really seen much else from him. Well,
That's probably the difference, though, is that, you know, Jair and Dimi are both much better in like the sort of tighter situations, and Thurgate's not much different. I would say that Austin hasn't really been clinical with the way he's played, but he's definitely created a sort of few chances, especially at the end of the game when you're looking to just stretch them. And that's something that he offers, I guess, that Nubu did as well, is that, you know, he's going to get in behind.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Em, like I said, the first half I wasn't really impressed with how well we played. What about you? Obviously, we went down to a goal in the 36th minute, which we'll cover off in a second, but yeah, I was just really... I don't know whether we were playing badly or it was the press from the Mariners were just harrying us on whenever we had possession. They were hunting in packs. They had 1-2 players on all of our dangerous players up front, cutting off the supply lines to Roy. So I think that was what was getting him frustrated. But whenever we had the ball, we were trying silly passes, and passes weren't going where they were supposed to. Or the as you said before, the striker was making a run, but the person passing him the ball didn't really pick the run. So yeah, the first half was a little bit haphazard from us, and yeah, 36th minute we ended up going down a goal, which again we'll talk about in a second.
Oh, I was spewing the first half. I was, you know, I had to ask someone next to me. I was like, what's that word for Japanese ritual suicide? Because we're going to need to do that at the end of this game. Like, that's how unimpressed I was. I was yelling out, you know, he's not even a proper keeper. How have we not scored yet? I was furious. And it felt a bit like, I think, you know, derby fever. It had gone to their heads a little bit. They were running around with lots of aggression and lots of attack, but without much thought for what they were doing, or that's what it felt like to me. It just, yeah, nothing was clicking and nothing was meshing, and it was just all a bit nonsense. And you know, I dragged my boyfriend and his brother there on the way to our family Christmas, and I was like, God, and we were so sunburned, I'm thinking, we sit in the sun for this? yeah. And yeah, I'm pretty glad that something changed at halftime, because that first half I thought was quite nonsense.
Yeah, is it Hari Kari? Is that the ritual suicide? Yes, it is, Hari Kari, Harikari. So yeah, first all.
Well, I'm glad we didn't have to do it.
Seppuku. I'm schooling you on Japanese. What's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. I only know how to say my eyes are blue, and hello and good morning and that kind of shit, which is totally useless because my eyes aren't even blue. So,
hey, okay. Yep, fair enough. So, Matt, we'll talk about the goal. I put a lot of this down to Bugard not tracking the plank with eyes, and yeah, he ended up getting a run on him. For some reason, leaving Bugard a couple of steps behind and getting on the end of a cross and putting the ball in, and yeah, then he decided to run over and celebrate in front of our fans, which made him very popular.
Yeah, it just wasn't very good defending at all, was it?
No.
I don't know. Yeah, I think. Yeah, Bugart didn't track that last little run from Simon, but I don't think Georgeski probably didn't track the overlap either, if I'm remembering correctly. You know, there was a bit of a call for like Simon holding top of Stanley's shirt as well. All in all, and I hate to say it, Simon did pretty well to get from the point where he was laying a ball off outside our box on the right hand side to make it to the back post. But that was probably the only decent thing he did all game. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and there was a lot of when they did have possession, the Mariners, and they were trying to get the ball into the box, there was a lot of jostling going on, which I thought maybe the refs maybe let go a little bit too much. I think that maybe a few, not necessarily cards, but a couple of talking twos would have been warranted with just the way they were trying to push our defenders around to get themselves space in the box. But, yeah, I thought that the ref in this game maybe let a little bit too much go.
I don't know. I reckon it's no more jostling and shirt pulling and pushing and name calling and whatever other that I would expect at a derby. And quite frankly, you know, our defenders are huge and their attackers are tiny. So a little bit of pushing and shirt pulling should not actually give us any trouble. And in that goal, I think that Hoffey's probably the only one in the back line who actually kept his player. So, yeah, that was just bad defending. And it really hurt that it was Matt Simon. But I did say to my friends at the time, I was like, don't worry, this is going to make it all the more sweet when we come back and beat them. So let them score first, let them celebrate, let them think they've got it, and then come back and flog them. And that's exactly what we did.
Well, I mean, the one thing that disappointed me, Matt, was that goal didn't really wake them up. I mean, I think we performed a little better after that. But, again, like the overall impression I had after that first half was that, yeah, we were down a goal and both teams were playing like crap.
Oh, absolutely. There were so many chances for either team to put the game away. When Dimi had his really good opportunity in the first couple of minutes. Probably the one time where Payne got the better of Hoffman in the first half, like with the long ball to halfway, where Hoffman sort of fouled him and got the yellow. I mean, he could have done a lot better there. I just watched that goal again, and I think it was actually Vargas that didn't actually track the runner back after the layoff. So, I think against any other team, we couldn't have expected the 3 points there. It's just that Central Coast are so firmly entrenched as wooden spooners this year that's the only reason we came back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, obviously things improved fairly early on in the second half. It's kismet that we come back to you because Hoffey was the one that equalised in the 66th minute off a Jair corner, one of the few that I've seen that Dimi didn't take. And, Jair trotted down to our corner and put the ball in. And, Hoffey headed it home and then proceeded to go absolutely mental. It was a great goal from him.
It was nice. As I said, I called it before the game started. And I do love how when Hoffey scores, everyone in our area turns around and looks at me and says, your man just scored, like, congratulations. So it's very nice that I still get the Hoffy love.
Yeah.
And super happy for him because he knows what a derby means and, you know, it matters to him. And, yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think after that we really, Matt, seemed to get a lot more confidence. I think we were just sort of waiting to get that goal and get ourselves back in the contest. And Mariners were obviously the press that they had on us in the first sort of 60 minutes of the game was fairly effective, I think. But I think they just tired out. We were getting a lot more space in the midfields and down the wings. We'll talk about how poor some of their players were specifically in a minute. But I just think after that goal, it was a definite spark for a turnaround in our fortunes in the game. And I really wasn't surprised when we came up and scored a second goal to take the game. It just looked like we got our confidence back. We started sticking those passes. We started making the right runs, and overall, it was a much better performance in the second half, especially from about the 60th minute.
Yeah, there just seemed to be a bit more belief in the team, didn't there? That that we would win. As soon as Mariners scored or got to half time, and Alan, my mate from work, said that it was going to be a long, long, quiet drive home for me. thanks, Al. As soon as we got into the second half, it was like a different team. Like Jaya had that really good opportunity within the first couple of minutes where he's sort of headed it over the bar. I think we're all over him the second half. Not all over him. We certainly weren't clinical, and we certainly gave them a couple of chances to come back into it. But there just seemed to be a bit more belief in the team that they could actually put one in the back of the net.
Yeah, the second goal, Matt, we'll stick with you so you can talk about the other one. The second goal was coming, but it didn't come until the 82nd minute. Jair went off at 73 to be replaced by Kane Shepherd, and he was the one that actually laid on a brilliant ball over to Vargas, who whacked it into the net. It was actually a really good take. I was actually a little bit disappointed with Ronnie's performance in this game overall. I think he tried a lot of stuff that wasn't coming off, and all the passes he was trying just weren't happening. But it's a player of quality that shows you he can have a poor game and then be there in the right spot and be able to smash the ball in the back of the net and make the difference.
I don't think there is anyone else on that field that would have scored that goal because I'm still not actually convinced that he touched it. I've watched that replay I don't know how many times, and I'm I'm still convinced that he didn't touch the ball and then he got the nice bounce and just put it away. But I don't think there's anyone else that would have actually scored that goal.
I think there's a bloke that wears number 9 that probably would have got it if he'd have been in that position. But what about you, Em? That was
kicked the keeper.
Yeah, well, Em, that was I thought that was a really good goal from Vargas. And again, like I said, I thought he performed fairly poorly throughout the game, but he was able to pop up at the right time and put the ball away.
Well, and I guess at the end of the day, that's what matters, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about stats, and you know, the only stat that matters is putting them away, and especially when it's your job to do it. And yeah, it was a nice pass in. It may be against a more experienced keeper. It might not have looked so easy. But yeah, it was a very nice goal. It was nice to get it late in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think that there was any inkling in the remainder of that game that the Mariners were going to trouble us. I think maybe they had one more attacking foray into our half that didn't really go anywhere, but they didn't look like they were up for trying to get back into the game. There was a bit of pressure towards the end, but the final balls and everything that they were putting in just weren't coming off. So I wasn't in any way concerned that they were going to equalise before full time.
Yeah, I'm the biggest nervous Nelly about those kinds of things, and I'm always like, don't count your chickens until the whistle blows. But, yeah, I was feeling pretty happy and confident in those last couple of minutes to close out that match.
So, Matt, obviously, like I said, Shepherd came on at the 73rd minute and laid that ball on for Ronnie to score. Roy Denon came on at the 85th for Roy O'Donovan, and Vargas went off at 90 for Thurgate. Were you surprised that those final two substitutions happened so late? I thought that maybe Roy probably would have been 70 minutes, maybe, considering he hadn't played at all for ages. And maybe I would have taken him off for Thurgate and then brought Roy Denton on late to maybe shore up the middle of the park. But yeah, it was an interesting two substitutions and timing from Ernie, but obviously we got the win, so that's all that mattered. But I just would have thought that we had them on the back foot, we had Shepherd on the ground. I just would have thought maybe having Thurgate running around causing problems in, like, maybe give him an extra 10, 15 minutes, bring him on at the 75th minute, would maybe have resulted in another goal.
I think all of our substitution plans got moved back 5 or 10 minutes when we actually scored that first one, because Shepherd was on the sideline standing next to the fourth official when Hoffman scored.
Yep.
So he was about to come on then, and then that got shelved for sort of 5 or 10 minutes. So, I don't know. I've sort of said it before. I'm not the biggest Roy Denton fan. I haven't sort of seen him really offer us anything. But I thought, like, Roy surprised me as far as how he was, like, how easily he sort of seemed to run that game out. I guess it sort of goes to show, you know, how much work he's been doing in training and sort of how much competition for spots there has been in the squad.
Yeah. So middle of the park, obviously we've talked over a couple of other players, but I thought that Kanner and Yugarkovic were doing well in a defensive set, but there was, again, part of that whole not really coming off for us in the first half. I think a lot of their passes were going astray, but they were breaking up a lot of the play and stopping the Mariners from venturing too far forward. How did you see the guys in the defensive midfield areas? Were you happy with the way they performed?
Yeah, I was particularly impressed with Yugarkovic and his shirt fronting of pain. That was fun.
Yep.
I think you're probably right. They were getting it right maybe 60% of the time.
Mm.
But I guess when they weren't getting it right, it was costly. So I guess, you know, I've said before, when you don't notice the midfield, that's when they're having a good game. And, yeah, I noticed them a bit more than I would have liked to.
Matt,
How can you not notice Kanarovsky, though, at the moment? He's running around with a shaved head. He looks like Lurch.
Yeah, well, it's not the most attractive head one that's been shaved. He needs some locks back to grow the locks back, I think.
No, I reckon he's played better since he took it off, so okay. I'm quite happy with it.
No, fair enough.
3.0. I'm very, very pleased.
Matt, I did say that I thought Ronnie didn't have a great game. I thought it, large parts of the game passed him by and he got frustrated with things not coming off. On the other hand, though, I thought Demi was going was performing really well, although he was attracting a lot of attention from their defence. So it was only so much he could do, but there was a lot of play going through Demi that I thought he was doing well. But, yeah, passes forward and stuff just weren't going to the right people. But I was a lot more impressed with the way Demi performed in this game than I was with Ronnie.
Yeah, I think the big worry for me about Ronnie was what happened just before half time when he had that little blow up when Simon obviously got under his skin. You know, you don't want your best player to get sent off because some dickhead on the other team's given him a mouthful or, you know, tried to reduce him down to playing at his level.
Yeah, well, I was quite happy that he gave him a bit more of a. Gave him a bit of a spray back, shades of Vignaroli in years gone by, and a couple of other players that have stood up and gone toe to toe with the Mariners players, trying to exert their, you know, trying to exert some influence in a poor way. But I was happy that, you know, he cared enough to actually stand up to him and give it back to him. I wasn't really that concerned with that, to be honest.
I thought he looked a little bit hot under the collar. And I mean, if someone's going to kick Simon, I'd rather it be Canner, who's just probably going to do a better job.
Yeah.
No. But even Simon's mum treats him like that, so, you know.
One player that I did want to quickly cover off, Em, before we before we finish off talking about it, was the game was Boogs. I thought Topor was performing really well in this game, but I thought Boogs seemed to really struggle. I don't know whether it's this. Dave and I had a bit of a discussion during the game that we think that maybe Bugard is starting to wane a little bit in performances in some games. It's not a constant thing. Like, you know, a couple of games he'll not perform that well, and then one game he'll have a barnstorming performance. But it seems to be a lot more up and down now as opposed to being the consistent performer that he was last season.
Yeah, I don't even know if you'd say a lot more up and down. I'd say a lot more consistently shit. This is the exact same conversation we had on the last review that I hosted. Like, Boogs looked cooked from the beginning. He looks tired. I don't know what it is, but whatever it was he was bringing to the team in terms of skill and drive and, you know, that nous, he's not bringing it right now. And I think that ripples through the entire team and it's very disappointing.
Yeah, I think...
To be fair, he still hasn't got a red card.
Well, that's very true. He has kept that to a zero.
If he did get a red card, because then I would still be able to... He's just kind of like schlepping around and he's not really putting anything in. Like, a red card at least would show some goddamn heart.
Matt, I think Bugard's mainly being kept on the park because he's a lot more vocal than pretty much everybody else on the park. And if we bring in, for instance, if we give him a spell for a couple of weeks to let him recover, we're bringing in Lockie Jackson, who's not one of those vocal type defenders. So I think maybe the Topor is the one that's really got to step up while Bugard's having a bit of a dip in form and be a little bit maybe a bit more of a stand-in captain in that respect, so that maybe we might be able to put Bugard on the bench and then bring on Jackson for a bit of a change in the defensive structure, and that might freshen things up a little bit.
I think with 7 games or something to play in January, it's not an if or when, it's more a when. So, yeah, like, I think Moss and Topper Stanley and Canner have probably got to start taking over some of those, some of that leadership role, I guess, that Bugard has. He's definitely starting to slow down, so it's a concern.
Yep, definitely. All right, so we'll have a quick go over the stats. So by the end of the game, it was actually fairly even possession, 51% to 49%. Dual success was 45%, Mariners 55% to the Jets. Aerial duels won, we got the wood in that. That was 56% to 44%. 7 interceptions to us, 4 to them. 3 offsides, 8 corners to the Jets, only 2 to them. So we definitely had a lot more of the attacking side of things. Passes were pretty close, 374 to them, 350 to us. passing accuracy was about 70% for both teams. Passing accuracy in the opponent's half was about 60, mid-60s for both teams. 20 crosses to us, 13 to them. The crosses weren't that accurate, but, you know, who cares? 19 shots to 8, so we definitely had the more attacking on that side of things. 7 shots on target to the Mariners' 5. Some shots outside the box, 7-6, and shots inside the box. We definitely dominated 12 shots to the Mariners' 2. So while they had definitely had a bit more shooting accuracy, we were definitely having a lot more shots in their inside their box. I think a lot of that obviously came in the second half. 20 fouls conceded to them, 19 to us, 4 yellow cards to 3, no reds. As you mentioned before, Bugard managed to keep that to 0, so that's good. So, Matt, obviously those stats sort of tell their own story. There was some good attacking intent, I think, from the Mariners for the first half, but we definitely had a lot more, I would say, probably a higher quality attack in the second half. We got into their box a lot more often. We were having more shots. We got more corners. And obviously that's what translates into eventually goals on the scoreboard.
We definitely seem to have more momentum anyway, put it that way, in the second half. I still look at that chance Connor Payne had in the second half where he had that breakaway, and then almost like, you know, as he took the shot from just outside the 18 and he could have had another touch or two. And when you look at like chances like that, that was like, gold plated, gift wrapped. You know, anyone else, like any other A League, you know, quality front three player probably would have put that away. So, yeah, you know, the stats can say a lot.
Yeah.
How many secondary assists did we have?
I didn't see that stat. Didn't see
yeah.
it.
Like I said, you know, like the stats can say a lot, but when you look at the actually what was happening in the match, I mean, yeah, I think we had the ascendancy in the second half, but they still had so many chances.
Yep, definitely. All right. On their side of things, again, I thought basically all Matt Simon really did was try and rough house our defenders. He did manage to get on the end of one ball, but didn't really do much else. I thought the best player on their side of things was actually our ex-player, Chabot. I thought he ran... was doing a lot of intelligent runs. He kept possession. He was making passes. It's just the dross around him meant that it didn't really count for anything. But it's a shame we couldn't keep him. But he was definitely one of their better players, and it was quite funny to see Andrew Hull trying and failing again.
Yeah, it does hurt when you players you actually want to keep go to the Mariners. Andrew Hull, you can have him, but yeah, Chabot, I would have liked to have another year with to kind of see what we could have gotten out of him. I think he did have an all right game. I reckon probably the best Mariners player on the park was their little baby keeper, who might give Ben Kennedy a run for his money. So yeah.
I thought you said during the game he wasn't a real keeper. I think I heard that call come from you.
Wait, yeah, like. Well, we should have scored against him. He's the backup keeper. Like, you know, we should have been all over that shit. But he did a pretty good job. And if Kennedy was in, we probably would have had a few more.
I feel sorry for that. I feel sorry for their NPL player that was playing out on the right. He gave Georgeski, you know, a bit of a torrid time in the second half, like beating him and getting crosses and in and whatnot. And for someone to finally get, you know, their big break in the A League and get a chance to play professionally and have to play with Mariners, which is probably worse than the Avondale team that he's come from.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must be pretty disappointing.
Which one were you talking about, Kai Rowles?
No. Matt something.
Matt Miller.
Played on the right. He apparently scored a fair few goals last year, and I think he was playing like right back or right wing.
Yep. Yeah. No, on the weekend. Listed as a defender, but yeah, no, Matt Miller.
Yeah, I thought he actually he showed a little bit of spark. Like at least he kept trying. He looked like a coastie because he had the jersey on, but at least he tried.
Yeah. Oh, well. All right. So that's all I really want to talk about them from that side of things. So that's our thoughts on the game. Fairly happy overall with the result, but performance left a little bit to be desired. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes this week. We'll get to that preview in a minute. But before we do, we'll hear now from Ernie Merrick. Again, thanks to Fox Sports with the post-match press conference, and we'll get his thoughts on how the game went.
In the end, you get the wins, but it looked like it was a frustrating night again for some time.
Yes, I guess you could say that. Again, I thought we played well in the first half. First chance, I think, fell to Dimi or to Roy. And then Dimi, when he went right through, he took a free kick. Was unlucky with that one as well. It was pretty close. Ronnie, side-footed, just past the goals, the goalposts. But then they came into the game. It was an edgy first 15, 20 minutes, like a typical derby, no one giving away very much. It was really a game of two defences. And then they scored and they lifted and kept possession for about 15 minutes, probably got the majority. But towards the end of that half, we looked strong again. And at half-time, I just praised the boys. I thought that was a terrific performance and it would come. I pushed Jason a little bit further forward from a right back. I wanted him to overlap more, and he got the first goal with the header. And after that, I thought we never looked back. I think we'd finished up with 18 shots to 8, and we probably could have scored another one at the end there, maybe two. But again, we've got that ability to keep pressing. We're very fit, and we never stopped trying to score goals. So overall, an impressive performance, but this time we come away with 3 points. I knew he'd last a long while because he's very fit. He's lost weight. He's been training the house down. Just his sharpness, his touch on the ball, used to getting pressure on him. But I probably got more out of him than I thought I would. And he's only going to get better now. It's great to have him back.
Did you notice that after you scored the equaliser, there was a bit of a slump from the Mariners, their heads went down?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I felt. Well, we talked about that. Look, it's tough on the Mariners. They competed so well in the first half. They've got some good players. They got the goal, and it was almost a bigger relief for them to score that goal. And it started getting a wee bit rough. So at half time, I said to the players, "We're not going to get into this rough stuff. That doesn't work for us. We're playing football. Keep playing football." And once we scored, I just felt that we would go on to score more because they're under a lot of pressure. And it's a pity because they're a good team and it's a good setup here. Another day it could easily have been a draw, but we kept creating the chances. And once we got that second one, we were really looking for the third. We're a bit unlucky not to get the third one. And I don't think we ever lost that, but certainly when you're creating that many chances and not scoring goals, that would affect players. So to score a couple of goals today and concede one, it would certainly lift the boys, and especially at Christmas when you're going to have a couple of days off training. So I don't see them now till Boxing Day.
It's a funny league. It
is a league this year where I think any team can take points off in any other team. Look at the Phoenix, they're coming strong now. Victory, they were 1-0 ahead and then they drew 1-1. So every team can score goals against every other team. So it's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, with that front form now that you've got, obviously you're hoping that they're the vision for going forward, and you're hoping that they click.
Well, that's what we've worked on all year, but we didn't get the final piece of Roy until today. Jair's lost 8 kilos, but he's taken a little while to get fit. Now he's fit, so out of that four, two of them have really struggled a bit, but the two that have just been playing great football are Ronnie and Dimi. And then behind those two, Ben and Steve are just a great combination. Behind those two, Nikolai and Nigel, just outstanding again. So partnerships are very important because you're only as good as your partner allow you to be, and we seem to be putting it together better and better now. Now I've got an appointment with Santa Claus. Is there anything else? What are you getting from Santa Claus?
I'm Interrogating.
Thank
Okay.
Thanks again to Fox Sports for the Ernie Merrick press conference audio there. All right, we'll get into the quickly get into the preview now. We have a game this Sunday, a doubleheader at McDonald Jones Stadium on Sunday the 30th of December. Nice early kickoff, and we'll cover off the women's game first because that's obviously up first, round 9. Both teams are versing Adelaide, so the women kick off at 4:30 p.m., which is going to be awesome with a predicted 40-degree weather going to be in the area. So I don't know how many people are going to turn up for it, but the women obviously a bit of a struggle at the moment, sitting in 8th position from memory. Yes, that's right, 8th position, a game behind. We had a bye last week, so hopefully we can catch up a little bit. So it's only Wanderers below us, and they're a long way below us, but we're on Canberra United's heels. They're on 8 points. Sydney FC are on 9. Melbourne City are on 10. So we can get back to winning ways this week against Adelaide, who are sitting in 4th. We'll be able to get up the table a little bit and hopefully improve our fortunes a little.
Yeah, so we've got a game in hand, so with the whole bye structure. So that's nice. So maybe our position on the table, as you said, is not quite as bad as it looks. I think we used our time with the bye last week well in terms of the friendlies that we had with the Chinese team. So I think the girls will have learned a lot from that, that I think they'll be able to use in this match. On paper, I think that Adelaide have it over us. As you said, we're on, 7 points and they're on 12, I think it is.
Yes. Yeah, it's so 7 to us, 12 for them.
They've definitely got it over us. And we are really going to struggle with Taylor Smith now being gone for the rest of the season. I think that's a really big loss, massive gap in our team, and I think we're going to struggle to perform without her.
Who comes in to replace her? Is it a simple matter of putting Courtney Vine back in there, or how do we replace someone like her?
Well, you don't replace her. That's the point. Like, you'll put someone else on the park, but you don't replace Taylor Smith. She's irreplaceable. She when she got signed, I was like, our girls for premiers this season, and losing her, I'm like, well, 8th is probably as good as we're making it now. So the girls are really going to have to step up, and hopefully that I'm really hoping that practice with the Chinese national team and using the bye really well this week is going to be what makes the difference for our girls and shows them they can do it.
Yeah, I'm just reading the preview on the W League website, and they're really talking up Adelaide being high on confidence now. Bounce back from a 5-2 loss against Sydney to win 3-2 against Melbourne Victory. So, yeah, they've got the likes of Heyman and Latsko finding form. So they're getting quite a few goals, whereas Ware seem to be struggling. No squad announcements or anything that I can look at, unfortunately. So it's not really much. We have to probably wait until Friday. This will come out on Friday, but obviously we have to release the podcast before then. So, Matt, have you been watching the girls, and how do you think they're going to perform in this match? Obviously, it's going to be a very competitive fixture.
I've only watched a couple of the girls' games this year, and like, it's been disappointing because at the start of the year, seeing the players that we had sort of come back to the squad, I thought they were actually going to go a lot better. What can I say? Maybe it's time to start pulling out some of the creative formations with only a couple of games to go and start playing like a 2-3-5 or something, and just stuck in the front end.
Well, who knows what Deansy's got up his sleeve. So we'll wait and see what happens on Sunday afternoon with that. Em, how are you thinking the game's going to go, and what's your score prediction?
Oh, look, I think Adelaide are going to have it over us, unfortunately. But I do think we can put a goal past their keeper. And I do think Ekstrom will be a strength in our team, which will keep the scores low. But I think it's probably going to be a 2-1 to Adelaide.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought as well. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was probably a little bit more pessimistic. I was thinking 2-0.
Okay.
Adelaide.
All right, well, that's the Jets women, so get along to that before the men's game. Like I said, kickoff starts at kickoff is at 4:30 p.m. This Sunday, and it's obviously included in your membership and your match ticket. So get along to the game and support the girls before the men kick off.
What were you gonna bring
your sunscreen, hats, sunglasses, whatever you can to protect yourself. All right, and then later on that evening at 4:30 p.m. was the women's kickoff. 7 p.m. is the men's, again versing Adelaide United. Some stats that Dave put up for this on the forums at newcastlefootball.net. Overall, there's been 41 matches between the two teams. It's fairly close. 13 Jets wins, 16 Adelaide wins, and 12 draws. In Newcastle, we've not gone too badly, actually. 18 matches, 9 Jets wins, 5 United wins, and 4 draws. Goals in the fixture in Newcastle, 21 to United 16. Recent form, so obviously we are 9 points from the last 15. United are sort of struggling a little bit, 7 points from the last 15. Both leading scorers are on 3 goals. Ronnie Vargas with 3, Craig Goodwin with 3. Matt, this is going to be an interesting game in that Adelaide are very good on the ball but seem to be having problems scoring. So this might be an opportunity for us to make a bit of a statement when it comes to controlling a game and then actually be able to convert.
Yeah, I'd like to think that this is going to be like the reverse Newcastle game where the team that's semi-informed plays the team that's not informed into form. I think this could be a turning point for us. I'm actually really looking forward to this. I think we will run away with it.
I really hope so. Em, are you as confident?
Look, I'm pretty glad Jordan Elsie's going to have a week off.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to mess him up a little bit. He got himself 2 yellows this week, so won't be here, which is nice. I think, I guess, the pressure's on Adelaide to score, and I think, yeah, Matt's right, as long as we can, you know, keep them frustrated, but then it's up to us to score, which is, as we know, kind of our problem. So, yeah, this one could easily be a nil all draw, unfortunately.
Yeah.
With Elsie out, probably means what, Regan's going to come in. That's probably another reason why Austin doesn't want to actually get selected after the hit that he got put on him a couple of seasons ago.
Well, we know that Riggs isn't going to leave anything behind, so he's definitely. Look, I'm a big fan of Riggs. Big bloke on social media. He's says it how it is, but yeah, obviously he's going to be the opposition when that whistle goes. So yeah, and obviously also another ex Jets player that's in the opposition's team is a player who's performing really well this season, and I was quite surprised he's not on the standby list. I don't think he's on the standby list for the Socceroos, but Craig Goodwin has been having, a really good season. It's one of the few bright lights in their team, and he's actually scoring when they're really struggling to score.
Yeah, and I guess it is always nice to see Goodwin doing well. Still have a massive soft spot for him. Just don't want to see him doing so well against us. Please,
yeah, you can have a shit game against us, Craig.
In the wound.
I thought you guys were actually talking about Ryan Kiddo.
Yeah, no, well, he's sort of been in and out.
I've got a soft spot for Kiddo after he took out the Coastie's goalkeeper.
Well, yeah, I mean, that game lives long in the memory of everybody, I think. But, yeah. I would have been happier if he'd have stayed, put it that way, rather than at least Craig Goodwin went overseas and went to a bigger team and then came back to the A-League, whereas Ryan just went, I just want to go home. It's just like, well, you know, you could have stayed here and made a little bit more of yourself in a good team. But anyway, that's a decision you make. If you're homesick, you want to go back home where you know everyone. Em, the starting lineup, are you thinking it's, it sounds, for reading the previews and the local media reports, that it doesn't look like Ernie's going to be making too many changes off the back of the derby win. Are you pretty much thinking it's going to be the basically exactly the same team to start, and maybe just a bit of shuffling on the bench?
Yeah, I think the bench is where the action is. I think the bench is where the most, I guess, contention for spots is. but also the bench is where I think we can really make the difference. So I think the key will be getting a very attacking bench, and then if you start Hoffi in the defence, that gives you more options to kind of shuffle things around later on in the game. So I think, yeah, it's going to be really important to pick the right bench. And I think the sub strategy is going to need to be rethought this week as well. Yeah. Especially because it's probably going to be goddamn hot.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, and that's the thing. There's obviously another game on the 2nd or 3rd of January, so it's a pretty quick turnaround. So this might be an option for Ernie to maybe make a couple of changes if he sees that Bugard's, like we have, has been struggling. Maybe this might be an option for a Johnny Katrumbis or a Lachlan Jackson to come in. Matt, looking at the squad that was announced on Thursday, there's two players been promoted in. So Cowburn and Katrumbis have both been promoted into the squad, and two players need to drop out. I'm not seeing Austin in that squad at all, so he's still not even being used, which is a bit interesting. But going with the squad of Moss, Hoffman, Bugard, Kanarovsky, Ugarkovic, Petrados, O'Donovan, Vargas, Filyitsa, Shepherd, Cowburn, Georgievski, Katrumbis, Italiano, Roy Denton, Thurgate, and Topor Stanley, with two of those to drop out. Which of those two players do you think will drop out? Do you think he might make a bit more of a call? He's going to change things up from the plays he had on the bench for the derby, or do you think he's basically going to go exactly the same?
I think he'll go exactly the same. I'd like him to keep Cowburn and keep Katrumbis and maybe leave out Vajica and Redenton. But no, I think it'll be the same lineup as last week.
I think it'll be one or the other. So I think one of Cowburn and Katrumbis will make the bench, and it will probably be Voyitsa and maybe Rodenin that drops out. I don't know. I think Thurgate pretty much is a lock to stay on there. But, Em, what are you thinking is going to be the bench?
I think it probably will be similar to this week because you don't make changes when you've won, I guess. Mm. I'm not sure I think it should, though. I'm pretty done with Vujica, to be honest. Yeah. I think he's had enough chances, and I don't think he's done enough. So I don't want to see him in, and I think you are right. One or the other of Cowburn or Katrumbis, I think they serve very similar roles on the bench.
Yeah.
And Ray Denton, I could, yeah. Ray Denton, I'll take or leave. I think he's got more to offer, but I don't think he's shown it yet.
So yeah, maybe looking at maybe Voyitsa and Rydenden to drop out, and that will give us a bench of Shepherd, Cowburn, Katrumbis, Italiano, and Thurgate, which is pretty strong and gives us a lot of options.
Shepherd and Thurgate.
Oh yeah, I think they're pretty much a lock. They're pretty much you're guaranteed subs, but they might need to come on a bit earlier.
Yeah, hopefully. I think that'd be a ballsy strategy, and I want to see it.
Yep. And the other one, Matt, that I don't see on the bench, I don't see in the squad either, is Lachlan Jackson. So I don't know whether he's still suffering from that injury he copped a couple of weeks ago, or whether he's recovered and working his way back to fitness, or whether he's just out of favour at the moment.
Yeah, it's strange because he was named in the squad last week from memory, just not on the bench.
Yep.
So, yeah, maybe the snoz is starting to play up again.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's certainly interesting. All right, so not really much else we can talk about this game other than to give our predictions. So, Em, what are you thinking? It's going to be it's still going to be pretty hot by the time this game kicks off, even at 7 o'clock. You're probably looking at high 20s, early 30s. What do you think the score's going to be?
Well, I'm definitely going to officially tip the Jets to win because I'll never tip another way. But I am going back to what I said. Scoring goals is going to be the problem for both teams, so I'm going to go back to a nil-all draw.
Yeah. You're not picking a Bodie special?
Unfortunately, no.
No, fair enough.
No bold prediction?
No bold prediction. Hoffy to score?
Well, I can't tip Hoffy to score in a nil-all draw.
Well, you can be a bit more bold. You can. Oh, no, I think we'll score 1-0. Come on. You think it's going to be nil-all?
Tip Boogs not to play the whole match.
Will you be happy with a nil-all draw?
I'll be happy with a nil-all draw than a one-all loss. But obviously I'd like some goals to be scored because I'm going to sit in the sun for several hours that day.
Mm.
Better be worth it. But, yeah, with both teams struggling to find the back of the net, it just doesn't seem... I look forward to being proven wrong. But, yeah, both teams have form in not scoring goals this season. So, and, yeah, after, you know, they've shown us some floggings in the past. So yeah, just not losing will be nice.
Yep, no, that's fair enough. Matt, what about you?
I'm going to have a bit more faith than Dr. Emma. I'm going to pick us for a 2-0 win. I think that after the little trial hit out against the Coasties that Roy Petrados Vargas sort of triumvirate might have a little bit more fluidity and be a little bit more dangerous this week. So, yeah, I'm picking 2-0, and as a bold prediction, I'm going to pick that Hoffman really gets under Goodwin's skin and Goodwin gets a red.
Ooh, that is
or at least two yellows.
That is definitely two yellows. That is definitely bold. With the Jets sitting in 7th on 11 and Adelaide in 6th on 12 points, this is a good opportunity for us to get our place into the 6th and get away from the teams 8th, 9th and 10th. So I'm picking a 2-1 win. My bold prediction is both Roy and Goodwin will score in that 2-1 win to us. So that will hopefully come off. I don't know whether anything will happen with that, but hey, well, who knows. But
Can I just, speaking of bold predictions, didn't realize we were still doing this season because Mitch has not given me my free dinner from winning bold predictions last season. So I am boycotting giving any more bold predictions till I get my goddamn pub meal.
That's fair enough. That's fair. Mitch, the challenge has been laid down. We'll quickly cover off the rest of round 10 before we wrap it up. Friday 28th of December, 7:50 kickoff sees Melbourne Victory taking on the inform Wellington Phoenix at Amy Park. This is going to be an interesting game. I think Wellington have actually shown that they've got some ticker and they're performing really well. I think this is actually going to be a really good game.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I'm going to pick Wellington for this one because that would just be brilliant and hilarious. And I think Victory are a little out of sorts at the second, and it would be nice to see that compounded and Wellington's kind of in-form run continue.
Yeah, definitely, and it's going to be interesting to see whether Honda's going to be out again this week because he did miss the derby with some sort of injury or something going on. So, yeah, if he's missing, having that having him not there is seems to have a bit of a psychological effect on their team. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think Wellington will perform well in this game. I think it'll be a draw, though. I think it'll be a 2-2 draw. Matt, what about you?
2-0 victory.
2-0.
I think they're too strong.
Okay. Saturday 29th, 7:50 p.m. kickoff is Sydney FC versus Brisbane Roar. Brisbane Roar really in the doldrums at the moment, Matt. I can't really see any way that they were going to be able to get anything against Sydney. I'm predicting Sydney to probably score 3 or 4 in this game.
I couldn't. A couple of weeks ago, I could not predict Wellington to ever beat Sydney either. So, can I use Ember's same logic and just say it'd be hilarious if Brisbane beat Sydney. So I'm going to hope for 1-0 to Brisbane.
Yeah. If Brisbane could work out a way to clone 11 Adam Taggart, so I think they might actually have a chance in this game. He's pretty much the only one that's going to be able to punish Sydney. But I think Sydney's going to be too strong. What about you?
Yeah, I'm feeling really bad for Brisbane at the moment. I follow a few Brisbane fans on Twitter. And it kind of sounds like they almost want to lose, because if they lose, then they can get the clean out and overhaul that they need of their coaching staff and their team. So last week when they made their comeback, the comments were, they scored the first goal rather. The comments were, damn it, this is going to prolong the agony. And yeah, then I think they ended up going down well bad after that. So,
yeah,
I feel a bit bad for them at the moment because, you know, we know what that's like when you're in that position.
Yes.
And I think money troubles as well. But I can't see them winning. But also I'm not tipping Sydney because that's just gross. So I'm going to tip a draw.
Yeah, I seem to remember a lot of that happening during the reign of 1P Stubbins, but yeah, I don't really want to revisit that because that's, bad taste in the mouth.
Yeah.
Monday the 31st, New Year's Eve, 7 p.m. I don't really know how many people are going to come and attend this game. Central Coast versus Perth Glory. I'm picking a Bodie special in this game. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, same. 4-0.
4-0?
Oh, 0-4.
M?
0-4.
People will come, but not for the football. They'll come for the fireworks. So they do the Coast fireworks from the stadium after that match.
Oh, really?
And that's where they always get that New Year's Eve game. So people will come, but they will not be there for the match. They will be there to get their seats for the fireworks. So, I don't see how the Mariners can pull anything over Perth, so I'm going to go the birdie special there too.
Ah, everyone, that's a hat-trick of birdie specials. You heard it here first. All right, New Year's Day is the final game of the round, 7:50 p.m. Wanderers versus Melbourne City. Both of these teams having a bit of a struggle. Why are they playing this game at ANZ Stadium? Oh, that's going to look awful. I don't know. This is a bit of a wild card fixture for me. Wanderers have been struggling. Melbourne City have been up and down. I'm picking Melbourne City, maybe 1-0. What about you?
I'm going to ask them, say I don't really care. I'm going to pick Wanderers for a cack, but really could not care less about City at the moment. I'm going to pick Wanderers for a cack.
Yep, okay. It'd be nice if they could bulldoze this stadium while these two teams were actually in it. Matt, what about you? What do you think the score's going to be?
I'm probably going to 3-1 to City.
Okay.
I think they're showing a little bit more than Wanderers at the moment.
Yeah, it's not difficult, but there's just still all this crap going on about Fornaroli and he's their best scorer, and it's just it's unfathomable to me how you can leave your best player on the bench week in, week out, and all over a tiff. So yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but anyway, I think that they're still going to end up winning, but it's not going to be great to watch. All right, well, that's pretty much it. I don't think there's any other news or other previews we need to go through, so it's a bit of a long one, but obviously we needed to combine the podcast this week and not do two separates, so that's why this one's so long. So a bit of a late Christmas present. We do also apologize for the no post-match video after the F3 derby. We're all massively excited, and then I turned around and everyone had disappeared on me. So I didn't have the ute so I could do episode 2 of the ute cast. Sorry, Em.
I had a long road trip, so literally I didn't even get to stay for the team to come around and do the cheer or anything. I literally bolted as soon as that whistle blew.
Yeah, you had to get in a car and drive for 4 hours to get to the middle of New South Wales, didn't you?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we weren't able to do a post-match video, but hopefully we've gone into enough detail tonight to cover that off. But we'll definitely be getting back into the swing of things for the next game on Sunday. So that's pretty much it. If you want to subscribe, if you don't already, please go to newcastlefootball.net/podcast. They're up on all of the major podcast avenues. You can get us on TuneIn. You can get us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or you can just grab the RSS feed from that podcast landing page and just stick it in your app, and then you can subscribe that way. Or you can do as most people seem to, just basically listen to it through the front page of the website. I don't know why people do that, but hey, I don't care how you listen, so long as you listen, that's all that matters. You need to get in contact with us. You can email us podcast@newcastlefootball.net, or you can get us on any of the social medias at @ChetStreamNewey on Facebook, Twitter, and Insta. Thank you very much for joining us, Em. Really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, fellas.
And thanks for your second, I think, Matt. Second or third?
I got in on the live podcast.
You did too.
Last week.
That's right.
Thanks for having us. Yep.
No, that's all good. Thanks very much. Good quality as always. Thanks very much for that. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Get along to the game on Sunday. Support the women, support the men. In the meantime, vamos el Jerkos.
Go the Jets.
Come on, the Jets.
I'm sort of tossing up as to what we're going to put the episode title is. Were the first half Harakiri or the plank with eyes? It's either one of those.
I like
those. Sorry?
I do like the one about the first half as well, because, you know, that pretty much sums up the actual game.
Yes, it
but
does.
Also, you know, the point with eyes is a nice... I always like to have a dig, so...
And now we throw to Matt for his Simpsons reference so that I can close it off.
as long as you're on TV, people will respect you.
Funny? Not funny, but true.
Benjamin!